I added a little bit more on this past Wednesday night. For those of you all that may not have been here on Wednesday, you may want to pick that up because it will tie in to what we're going to do today. I want to finish it up today. Before we delve straight into this, I want you to really think about when we talk about constructs, how it relates to your life. What I believe God is doing, and this is my introduction as they make sure I'm right and all of that stuff. So the reason we started this, I felt that God began to talk to me about 2017. And he said, I believe 2017 is the destruction, there will be the destruction of constructs. And the first thing that was in my mind was, what is a construct? And we began to look, and when I looked up a construct, it was an idea, an image, or theory that we form, but it's based on something, a simple component, if you will. Or it's not complex. That it's like, and we used the analogy on this past Wednesday, it's like this wall. This wall is a brick wall, but it's made out of one brick on top of another brick. Very simple. It's a brick, but when you put them all together, they form a wall. These are the same things that we do with constructs. You know, there are some people who feel like, wearing certain religious items, they've made those almost superstitious things. I'm closer to God because I got a cross around my neck. No, that's just a construct you do. That's a theory you have developed. And God is going to destroy all these constructs. And people are walking around here putting these kinds of things around, not just around their necks, but around their lives. They're building constructs. People think that they're getting away with stuff in church because, after all, I came to church and I done good. That's a construct. That's a theory you have that's unbiblical. Don't you know that Jesus showed up and cast the devil out of a man in the synagogue? So there's some things that I wanted to make sure, I believe by the Spirit of God, that we're dealing with as we get ready to go into 2017. I believe 2017 is going to be a year that we'll be able to see and understand. What do you mean, Pastor, see and understand? Sometimes a lot of things happen spiritually that we, even if we see it, we don't understand it. For instance, remember when Ananias and Sapphira offered up, it was offering time, and they lied. They lied to the Holy Ghost. If you just came in and you saw that, you saw a spiritual act, but the Holy Ghost recorded it and said, they didn't lie to men, they lied to the Holy Ghost, and therefore they died. Everybody saw them die, but now they understood. Because they understood, the Bible closes out with saying that great fear was upon the church. I believe we're going to see some stuff and understand, and it's going to help us to see God is moving in the midst of all of this. Now, it's not going to be everybody seeing and understanding. I believe it's the believer. I believe it's those people who are walking with God. Because the unsaved, they're going to not see and not hear. Lest seeing and hearing, they be converted. That's what Jesus said. So let me go into to this morning as we seek to finish up. I want to talk about confusion, God's weapon against constructs. Confusion, God's weapon against constructs.
Yeah.
coming with both barrels today. Confusion, God's weapon against constructs. Now, we've already talked about the construct, an image, an idea, or a theory built upon some simple elements. But confusion, let's talk about this. Confusion means tumult or disturbance, turmoil, panic. So I'm talking about God using turmoil, tumult, disturbances, or panic as a weapon against constructs. Now, I would have to have something biblical to solidify what I'm saying, that God actually uses confusion to do this. I want you to, let's go into the text. First Samuel chapter 5, verse 6 is where I'm going to start. While you're going there, I want you to think about something I said to you. You may be wondering, well, Pastor, why you talked to us about constructs last week and Wednesday, and you talked about getting them out of our lives. Why are you not talking about the weapon that God's going to use to get rid of them? Well, in the book of Amos 3 and 7, a New Living Translation says it this way. Indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything until he reveals his plans to his servants, the prophets. I believe God is revealing to us what he's going to do in this coming year. I believe God's revealing to us one of the weapons that he will utilize against the constructs. You're literally going to see this and understand it. Because he's showing his servants, the prophets, what's going to come to pass. That's why I didn't plan this. But that's why I believe God first and foremost dealt with us about having constructs in our lives. Now it's like he's showing us how he deals with the constructs. But to show us how he deals with the constructs and we still have them in our lives, that would be a problem. Do you see the progression? Let's clean it up first, and now let me show you what I'm going to do to this. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6. Now, you know, based for those of you all that have been following our teaching from this past Sunday as well as Wednesday, we're dealing with the Philistines, and the Philistines have captured the Ark of the Covenant. They have held on to this Ark of the Covenant. They have placed it within the temple of Dagon, Dagon being their god. Dagon is the god that they attributed the victory over the Israelites to. If you remember, I think it's in 1 Samuel chapter 4 or chapter 4 or chapter 3, they actually go to war. 4,000 Israelites die first in this war. Well, the elders come back and say, why would God allow us to lose? And they said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take the Ark of the Covenant. Well, when they grabbed the Ark of the Covenant, they weren't taking the presence of God as what they understood it. They had built a construct and made the Ark of God literally a good luck charm. So they said, well, let's take the good luck charm into battle, then we're definitely going to win. And say, we have to be careful as Christians that we don't start turning the things of God into good luck charms. All of that, I've done most of that last Sunday, so I ain't going to go into that now. Well, they go into battle and the 30,000 of them die. And the Ark of the Covenant is captured. They take the Ark of the Covenant back to the temple of Dagon, their god, and they attribute this great victory to Dagon. And they put the Ark of the Covenant in a subservient position in front of the god, their false god, Dagon, or the statue of him. Well, they come back in, the priests come in, and the priests see that Dagon has fallen. He's fallen prostrate in front of the Ark of the Covenant. No problem. The priest come in. Oh, something must have happened throughout the course of the night. So the priest secretly pick up Dagon, put Dagon back up on the shelf. Don't get a god that you got to pick up and carry around, okay? So they pick him up, put him back up there, and then the next day they come in. The Bible says this time Dagon is prostrate in front of, Dagon is prostrate in front of the Ark of the Covenant. The palms have been severed, and the head has been severed. And the head and the palms are laying on the threshold of the door. The threshold is where you had to walk, so that would desecrate their false god or their idol, if you will. So it was in a desecrated position. It was an act of humiliation. So now the priest had kept it secret before. But now there's a problem because Dagon is in pieces. So I guess you glue your god back together, pick him back up. But you know what? They done worse than that. They decided that the threshold that his palms and his head fell on is not holy. And see, sometimes we can become superstitious with things. We can think that because you know God spoke to us in a certain position while we were in prayer, that you need to be in that position every time now. You know, that's I can hear better in that position. Really? Or you know, after all, God spoke to you on a Monday. So it must be next Monday he's going to speak again. I don't know what's going to happen between Tuesday and Sunday, but I know on Monday. See, it's so easy to build these superstitions. And they didn't get the revelation that God was trying to give them, that Dagon is nothing but an idol and that he's the true and living God. They couldn't get that. But they found out that the doorway, we should make that holy because that's where he fell. We'll just follow our superstitions. So in 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6, we pick up the story. Let me give you my first point. God can send confusion when the enemy seeks to defy the will of God. God can send confusion when the enemy seeks to defy the will of God. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible says, then the Lord's heavy hand, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, then the Lord's heavy hand struck the people of Ashdod and the nearby villages with a plague of tumors. When the people realized what was happening, they cried out, we can't keep the ark of the God of Israel here any longer. He is against us. We will all be destroyed along with Dagon, our God. I want you to notice something. As superstitious as they were, God was still able to get their attention. As we're moving forward, as superstitious as our world has become, I believe God's still going to get their attention. These people went from, watch this. Let me make sure y'all follow me in the text here. If you look at verses 1 through 5, this was kept on the down low. Wasn't nobody really talking about it. But watch this. It says, when the people realized what was happening. Notice now it's no longer a secret just amongst the priests of Dagon. In other words, everybody has found out it is a problem for us to have this ark here. We got to do something. Look at verse 8. So what did they do? They called together the rulers of the Philistine towns and asked, what should we do with the ark of the God of Israel? The rulers discussed it and they replied, move it to the town of Gath. So they moved the ark of the God of Israel to Gath. They realized that they could not stand before the presence of a holy God. I believe that God is bringing us to a point where holiness, it's always been right, but now I believe that people are going to see the ramifications of not being holy. What do I mean? God is holy. The late Bishop Lockett used to say holiness was God's trademark. So you can't just bring anything in the presence of a holy God. And there's some people who have tried to say anything is acceptable from a church or a religious standpoint. I believe God is going to establish the fact that that ain't happening. Let me show you something that I find quite interesting in this passage of scripture. Look at verse 9. But when the ark arrived at Gath, the Lord's heavy hand fell on its men, young and old. He struck them with a plague of tumors, and there was a... That's your same word for confusion. Your same word for confusion. Don't you listen. I want you to know something. In this coming year, look for panic. Look for panic. Because people are not going to know what to do. I'm going to take my time. I ain't in no rush, but we're going to be out of here. It ain't going to take us long. Do you realize that God did all of this without ever saying a word? There is no recorded dialogue between God and the Philistine, but they were getting the message. He didn't even use backslidden Israel to speak on his behalf, but they was getting the message. I shared this, I believe, on last Sunday. God doesn't need us to defend him. Verse 10, so they sent the ark of God to the town of Ekron. But when the people of Ekron saw it coming, they cried out, they bringing the ark of the God of Israel here to kill us too? I said, not here. God sent the same confusion or panic attack wherever the ark went. Did you hear this? God sent a panic attack wherever the ark went. Because he can send confusion whenever the enemy seeks to defy the will of God. I'm just working with me. I'm trying to just close out our first part then kind of continue to move on in. Verse 11. The people summoned the Philistine rulers again and begged them, please send the ark of the God of Israel back to its own country or it will kill us all. Now, mind you, God has not said anything, but these heathens have figured out what the real message is. It seemed like sometimes in the body of Christ, we can't seem to get the real message out about what God is like. But he was able to do it without saying a word. I do believe God's going to establish his holiness amongst the people again without saying a word. If enough people start dropping dead, they were able to figure out, you know what? This is a problem. The people summoned the Philistine rulers again and begged them, please send the ark of the God of Israel back to its own country or it would kill us all. For the deadly plague from God had already begun, and great fear was sweeping across the town. Those who didn't die were afflicted with tumors, and the cry from the town rose to heaven. God knows how to deal with constructs and those that live by them. If you look at this, you would say, well, I don't really understand the Philistines. No. They thought that they were superior, that they can defy the living God. God, without saying a word, put them all in check and got them to the point, watch this, what they captured, they were trying to return. Can we please give this back to you? God is not going to be handled any kind of way, you all. Building these constructs and stuff in the lives of people, thinking that God understands and he accepts everything and he's open to all of the mess that people are pushing and saying today, God is not like that. And he is going to show he is not like that. They had an encounter with the holiness of God and it cost lives. But they got the message. Do you think they ever wanted to capture the ark again? Number two, God can send confusion against nations. God can send confusion against nations. You know, I don't know. I believe today that we look at things and we only gather information from a historic perspective. But if we would really take time to look at the things that God has said in the past, it all relates to things that we're doing now. Not just here in America, I mean globally. You know, I was thinking of an interesting thought. This is not a political statement. That's not where I'm coming from. You know, people had a problem with the late president, well, not late, but former President Bush when we went into Iraq because of the weapons of mass destruction supposedly were not there. And that became a big problem because they couldn't find the weapons. Well, it's amazing that in Syria, with Assad, who has the weapons of mass destruction, who is using them on his own people, that now we don't go there. And what are the ramifications of that? We have refugees all across the world now because we're not dealing with the issue. So you can be angry and say, well, there were no weapons of mass destruction when we went the first time in Iraq. I really believe that God granted us victory there. But we don't know how to handle the victory. So that's why we still have problems. So now here we are in a situation that all of these people are scattered across the globe because we're not dealing with a situation. Not only are they scattered across the globe, but now some of our greatest enemies, Iran, Russia, China, are now allies with Syria. I believe it all has to do with how we deal with what God has said before. Because all you're looking at is Babylon. God can send confusion against nations. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22, New Living Translation. It says, the Lord your God will drive those nations out ahead of you little by little. You will not clear them away all at once, otherwise the wild animals will multiply too quickly for you. But the Lord your God will hand them over to you. He will throw them into complete confusion until they are destroyed. So look at this. God used confusion to drive out other nations from the inheritance that he had promised Israel. I want you to understand that the confusion that I'm talking about is not just them sitting there not knowing what to do mentally. It was a turmoil that they were going through as nations. I'm going to show you something as we go forward, but I got to warm you up and take you there. So here's God made a promise to Israel about their inheritance, and there were other nations. He used confusion to move them out because those other, watch this. Just stick with me. I know some of y'all, this is just you saying, I don't get it. Okay. Verse 24, he will put their kings in your power and he will erase their names from the face of the earth. No one will be able to stand against you and you will destroy them all. You must burn their idols in fire and you must not covet the silver or gold that covers them. You must not take it or it will become a trap to you, for it is detestable to the Lord your God. In other words, he said, listen, they got constructs. They have constructs, and I'm going to drive them out with confusion because they got constructs, and I want you to have it. I'm going slow on that because maybe somebody will get it. So if somebody's got the inheritance I'm supposed to have, and they don't build up constructs. See, Kim, you with me. Watch this. I believe there will be victories available for the people of God, but there can be no compromise. Let me say it again. I believe there will be victories available for the people of God, but there can be no compromise. You can't want this. He said, listen, don't you reach for them idols and the gold and the silver that covers them. I'm going to drive them out, but don't you reach for what they had. Don't you take the construct that they had, because I'm driving them out. The victory is going to be yours, but don't get it twisted. That you go in there and think now that the construct they had, oh, well, I like this, I like that. See, we get caught up in some things, you all, that we should not. I'm going to get to a little bit more personal level here in a minute, but I want you to see some things. I'm almost finished. Number three, God can send confusion against his people when they walk in disobedience. So now we've seen him deal with an enemy. That was pretty straightforward. We've seen him deal with people that are possessing what should be the people of God. But I want to show you that God can deal with his people when they walk in disobedience. Deuteronomy 28 and 15, New Living Translation. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. One of the curses that Moses spoke upon those that disobey God's command was confusion. Look at verse 20. The Lord himself, this is not the devil. Are you with me? This is not the devil doing this. He says the Lord himself will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in everything you do until at last you are completely destroyed for doing evil and abandoning me. When you abandon God, you replace him with something. That's your construct. See, we innately, we're born with a desire to worship something, somebody. When we replace God, he said, abandoning me. It becomes a construct. We found something else to replace him. I can't worship my children. Can't worship my wife. Watch this. He's the only one who deserves it. I know people. I have seen this. Individuals that had children and got so much into their children, you wouldn't even know they're married still. Because the children, it was all about them. You know, I believe the Word of God is real. I don't want anything that moves God out of my life. Anything. Because whatever that thing is, it becomes an idol. And God is not going to allow any of us to have idols. No matter who we are, no matter how dressed up we can make this, it's not going to work before God. Look at this. I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 7. I want to show you something, and this we're going to get ready to close. First Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. I want to start New Living Translation. The Bible says, then Samuel said to all the people of Israel, if you are really serious about wanting to return to the Lord, get rid of your foreign gods and your images of Ashtaroth. determined to obey only the Lord, and then he will rescue you from the Philistines. You know, when we first started off, we began to talk about chapter 5 of 1 Samuel, and we were seeing what was happening in the Philistine camp with Dagon, their idol, and all of that. Chapter 7 is showing us what was happening with the Israelites. Why is Israel being defeated? He said, if you're really serious about returning to God, so that means that they had left God. That lets us know that that's why the 4,000 people died at first. That's why the 30,000 people died after that. That's why the Ark of the Covenant was captured, because they had abandoned God. They were in a spiritually backslidden state. So now, here's the situation. The prophet Samuel is speaking to them. He said, now, if you're really serious about wanting to return to the Lord, what do you got to do? Get rid of your constructs. You really serious about God? Get rid of your constructs. Get rid of the ideas, the images, the theories that you've built that are contrary to the biblical view of who God is. First thing you need to do. This is what he's saying. You with me? So they had become basically disobedient and all of that other stuff. So that's why they were defeated. Now, look at verse 4. So the Israelites got rid of their images of Baal and Ashtaroth and worshiped only the Lord. So they got rid of the constructs, okay? Verse 5, I want to show you something here. This is what came to me while we were in worship, but I wanted to wait till we finally got here. Then Samuel told them, gather all of Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered at Mizpah, and in a great ceremony, they drew water from a well, poured it out before the Lord. They also went without food all day and confessed that they had sinned against the Lord. It was at Mizpah that Samuel became Israel's judge. So in essence, they repented. This is a day of repentance. They're confessing what they've done. This is what I believe that we were doing on this past Sunday. Seeing the constructs in our lives, finding that place of repentance, and going before God with those things. Let me show you something. Verse 7, the scene changes. For a moment, we are in the camp of Israel. For a moment, we're hearing what the Israelites are doing. We're seeing them in a repentant form and seeing them coming back to God, seeing them coming out of their vulnerability of having been defeated and all of this, and they're standing before the prophet. Now, in verse 7, when the Philistine rulers heard that Mizpah had heard that Israel had gathered at Mizpah, they mobilized their army in advance. Now, the scene jumps from the Israelites to the Philistine army. And the army is recognizing that Israel has gathered at Mizpah. Now, watch this. The Israelites were badly frightened when they learned that the Philistines were approaching. Now the two scenes are going back and forth. So if this was a movie, God is allowing you to see both scenes, what's going on. And it's very key here on why he's allowing that. The writer is literally letting you know what's going on in the Philistine camp and in the Israelite camp. The Israelites have already been defeated at least twice. They don't lost. Watch this. They lost the Ark of the Covenant already. I want to keep reminding you of that because you got to see something. But remember, I believe that looking at what they did is turn the Ark of the Covenant into a good luck charm. You with me? Look at verse 8. So, don't stop pleading with the Lord our God to save us from the Philistines, they begged Samuel. So Samuel took a young lamb and offered it to the Lord as a whole burnt offering. So now we're in the camp of the Philistines and we're seeing what's going on. In the camp of the Israelites and we're seeing what's going on. He pleaded with the Lord to help Israel and the Lord answered him. Just as Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines arrived to attack Israel. But the Lord spoke with a mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day. And the Philistines were thrown into such confusion that the Israelites defeated them. Let me do a couple things here. Watch this. It is key that you get this. Remember, the ark is gone. The good luck charm is gone. They thought the construct, if we take the good luck charm with us, we're going to have victory. They lost thinking that. Now they don't have anything, but they repent. When we were here this morning in worship, I felt that it was like where Samuel was. As soon as he started the sacrifice, the Lord spoke and dealt with the enemies of our soul. As soon as we started the sacrifice, a sacrifice of praise, as soon as that sacrifice started, the Lord spoke. Let me show you. Here's what's very interesting about this. Looking in on this scene, listen to me, because this is where we are. Don't look like nothing happened. Watch this. Samuel is sacrificing the burnt offering. In other words, he's going through the service, if you will. He is going through the service, doing the things he has to do. But in the midst of this, the enemy is still trying to attack. Okay, just as Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines arrived to attack Israel. So watch this. Israel, for lack of a better example, is caught with their hands up worshiping. They're not prepared for no kind of battle. They just in repentance, trying to get their act back with God. They don't lost the Ark of the Covenant. They thought that this was the thing that they had to have to get victory. They thought that this was it. This is the only way we're going to win. Man, and here it is. In the midst of this, it don't look like nothing is happening. They're just going through a routine, normal service. Now, so the Philistines arrived to attack Israel, but the Lord spoke. The Lord spoke with a mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day, and the Philistines were thrown into such confusion that the Israelites defeated them. So now, wait a minute. What does Israel learn now? It's not the good luck charm. It's the presence of the living God. Israel learns that it's having a relationship with God. Israel learns that it's not about who's got. Watch this. They're not even prepared for battle, but they still win. Okay, Holy Spirit. I believe that what we need to gather from this is, listen, it is not the preparation like we sometimes think we need to have. It's the relationship with God we need to have. God spoke from heaven. And him speaking provided enough time, provided enough ability, provided enough wisdom, provided enough strategy, provided enough confusion for them to defeat their enemy. All while they were caught up in worship. He sent that kind of confusion to an enemy who wanted to displace them, who wanted to take advantage of what was seemingly a vulnerable moment. And I believe that we have vulnerabilities where it looked like, our guard is down. We're not as prepared as we should be. But watch this. They were trying to come back and reestablish their relationship with God. And the enemy wanted to take advantage of them right then. But God would not allow it to be so. I believe when we keep in our relationships with God, no matter what the situation is, he's not going to allow the enemy to take advantage of us. One last thing. God is not limited in his arsenal against the constructs. God is not limited in his arsenal against the constructs that people develop. But confusion does seem to be one of the outcomes of those that choose to walk that path. In other words, I am not saying today that confusion is the only thing that God uses against constructs. What I am saying is oftentimes that is one of the attributes that you see individuals or nations experience when they develop constructs. I had been doing some study on the Tower of Babel. And when you look at it, they chose to build in the plain of Shinar. It is the place where the Tigris River and the Euphrates River would wash down and make it very fertile. So it was seemingly a good place to build. And as they began to build there, they settled there. And they said, you know what? Matter of fact, let's build us a great city and a tower that reaches to heaven. I mean, you know the story. And so many people have talked about different things on the tower and the city and so on and so forth. The interesting thing is, the concept that they wanted to build was more of an empire than just a city. They wanted to build an empire that the entire known world would recognize from that point thereafter. Some individuals say, well, you know, they wanted to build a tower because they had just experienced the great flood. Well, if you're going to build a tower, you're probably not going to build it in a plain. You're going to probably build it on a mountain if you want to escape a flood. But if you wanted a tower that everybody could see from everywhere, and it would draw attention to you and your agenda, the plain is a good place to build it. In that empire, these individuals who, you know, this is what's really interesting to me about this. And I'm going to tie this in and we'll close. If you really wanted to build a tower, you really wanted to build a city, and if it was just about the city and the tower and not an empire, you had just come out of the flood. These are people who, for lack of a better way of putting it, the ground is still wet, okay? That's how fresh the whole idea and the concept of the flood is to these people. The reason I say this is because God gave Noah a command. After he left the ark, he said, replenish the earth. God designed them to repopulate the earth by to continue moving out. They directly disobeyed God and said, we're going to build our own empire to show everybody else that comes after us that we can defy God and build what we want, something that nobody else could do. And the Bible says that they had one language. When it speaks of one language, it's not just to say everybody spoke English. It literally meant that they had the same pronunciation and the same understanding. So it was almost like, imagine there never having been another language. Everybody clearly understood one another. So their ability was enhanced in what they could communicate. What's the top problem folks have today? Communication. Ask any married couple. It's communication. The ability to communicate. So it's not just speaking English. It was an understanding that they had of each other. Now, chapter 9 of Genesis, God tells Noah, I need you to replenish. So in essence, I need you to go and repopulate the earth. They decide they're not going anymore. God comes down to see what they're doing. He evaluates it and said, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to cause them to have different languages so that they cannot understand one another. Hence, we get the term the Tower of Babel. Watch this, or confusion. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. Because they seek to defy the living God with what they're doing. Because on the exterior, a city and a tower looks good until you understand the underlying motive behind it. And I believe that there are things that are coming that on the exterior, they look good. But the underlying motive, God is going to cause confusion to enter into it. Because looking at it from the outside, we can't always see stuff. And you go like, man, do you realize the city and the tower were never built? I want you to hear that. If you do historic studies, there's plenty of towers that were built, but that one never was. It was never finished. The Tower of Babel, or confusion. I really believe that God sends confusion when people seek to construct things that are contrary to the will of God. I'm finished. That's it. I said we weren't going to be long today. I'll be true to my word. Pray for me. I'll do better next time. Hallelujah. But I did want to finish that. I am just wanting us to be aware that, listen, evaluate your life. Look at things that you may see and understand that people are constructing stuff in front of you all that you may not see all of it. I want to caution some of our business owners or some of our people that are in business. Be careful with individuals who are asking you to come alongside them to engage in stuff that they're doing. This, as we enter into this next season, I believe, of 2017, there's some stuff that you don't want to be a part of. Because if God is destroying the construct, don't you be building it or helping somebody build it. Listen to the Holy Spirit. God's saying this stuff and sharing it with us for a reason. I believe he will allow us to see and understand as we come into this next year. Be open to what, if the Lord said, no, don't do that. Just don't do it. I know you may not understand it all now, but let him destroy the construct and you see it happen, then you understand it. And you say, Lord, I thank you. I'm glad you didn't let me be a part of that. Instead of you collapsing with it. Because if God would send confusion on his own people, Israel, don't you think I'm a child of God? Yeah, and that's a construct too. And God is destroying constructs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I honor you for what you're doing in our midst today. God, I believe that I've shared what you've given me with your people, and I pray, Lord, that it will be taken to heart. Lord, help us if there's any construct that we see, God, not just in our own lives, but even in other lives and other systems, Lord, that we may come around and be made aware of. Help us to understand now as we see what you're doing. The understanding of confusion is being sent and dispersed even into the midst of these things that they might be destroyed because they're working against the will of God. And Father, we set ourselves to do your will, to be about the will of our Father, which is in heaven. I pray, Lord, for strength for each and every one of your people. I pray that you would strengthen them for the times that are to come. I pray that you would give them insight and revelation into the word of God. And Lord, I pray for a closer walk with you. God, that anything and anybody that's contrary to the will of God for our lives will be removed, Lord. Because, Father, it's all about having a relationship with you. God, I pray those that are dealing with turmoil now because of things that the enemy is seeking to bring in their lives to cause them to make the wrong decision. I pray that your peace would be dispersed now. Peace that passes all understanding. Remove the turmoil of the enemy. Father, that tormenting spirit, oh God, that's been sent from the enemy, let it be removed from their life now. That they would receive the peace of God your peace that indeed passes all understanding. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in the midst now of the peace being experienced by your people. Let them know, Lord, that you are a safe place for them. For you said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into therein and are safe. Let them find safety in you, Lord. Let them find peace in you. Peace that you give them, Lord, not like the world, but your peace, because you've overcome the world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.